down into our third and final hour on this edition of the Hagman Report. We have two excellent guests, Steve Quayle and L.A. Marzulli, and we've been covering a number of very important topics and interesting topics from the conference coming up in Branson. Folks, you can go to Gen6.com or Gen6Productions.com. Gen6Conferences.com. All right. Just before the break, Steve, you were in the middle of a thought. I'm going to turn it over to you and let you pick up right where you left off. And maybe Steve's not back yet.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm back.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, Steve, you were right in the middle of a thought right before we took the break.
Well, I'm sorry. I just went to wash my face with cold water because I think I got steamed and I forgot where we were at. I'm obviously not going by my notes, but let me change that. And I just forgot. L.A., at this point, when you're at Branson, and don't give away anything, when I say this, I want, where is the Lord leading you now as far as integrating everything you've investigated, everything you've studied, everything you've written? Kind of where is your direction leading you? I think you just got back from overseas, did you not?
Yeah, I was in Portugal. My wife and I traveled to Portugal, and we filmed there for 2 weeks, and we... it's a new film. It's called Fatima, Miracle of the Sun or a Harbinger of Deception. And I just put up the actual trailer today. We did the teaser a couple of weeks ago, but the trailer is up today. It's on my YouTube channel, L.A. Marzulli. Go check it out. And the reason why I'm doing this, and already the backlash is just incredible. People are saying it's a hit piece against, you know, Mary, the Bible, and Catholics, and no one's seen the film. So we actually did a caveat in the beginning of the film, you know, basically saying that millions of people go to Fatima every year. Millions of Muslims circle the Kaaba stone in Mecca every year. Millions of Hindus celebrate Guru Puja. Millions of Buddhists go to thousands of temples all over Asia. People can believe whatever they want to believe, and we're not here to disparage anyone's belief system. But we are going to look at this one event called the Miracle of the Sun. 70,000 people in 1917. It's a 100-year anniversary. That's why I made the film. And in 1917, upwards of 70,000 people were gathered in a field in Fatima, Portugal. They experienced something. Something happened. It wasn't the sun. The sun did not leave its orbit. The sun did not come crashing to Earth. That's not what happened. There was something else. And it's been, without spilling all the beans of the film, what we've discovered is, as with a lot of this, the powers that be manage the agenda, they obfuscate the facts, they keep the facts from the people. Over and over and over again, we hear the same verbiage. Dull silver disc came from out of the clouds. Dull silver disc. And you remember in 1917, there is no verbiage. There's nothing in the lexicon that says UFO, flying saucer. And I spoke with neuroscientists, research, people, professors, doctors, philosophers, historians, all across the board. We spent, I mean, two exhausting weeks. It was not a vacation in any sense of the word. And what this does is it just tag teams. It just links up to everything else that I've been doing for the last, you know, for decades. It's all connected. It all points back to what I call the coming great deception. And Steve knows exactly what we're talking about. Something is coming, which Jesus warns about it, that there'll be, even the elect would be deceived. Men faint from fear of what is coming upon the earth. What the heck is that? And it's upon the earth. It's coming from somewhere else, in my opinion. Signs in the heavens, signs in the earth, and that's what we're seeing. And so Fatima, to me, was a harbinger of deception. Why? Because the 70,000 people in that field, many of them, their paradigm was changed completely in a 10 to 14 minute experience. And I find that astonishing. So that's why we made the film, or making the film. It'll be out in September.
Well, the nature of deception is increasing daily. And, Doug, did you see the article about Google going to use, in essence, a bunch of people that already have a bias against God to determine what they will allow, even on their search engines, et cetera? And once you're on the list, you know, you get, three strikes and you're out. Are you aware of that story?
Yeah, there's a story coming out of YouTube, well, Google / YouTube, about how they have teamed up with the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, who are just label any and everything that is not, you know, in their politically correct leftist mindset as, you know, racist hate speech. And they're going to start creating special categories for YouTube videos to shield the majority of the public from the extremist content of both Christianity and these
three different groups. Three different groups involved in that, Joe. And the bottom line is, you're labeled an extremist if you speak about Jesus, or if you criticize, or if you talk about Islam in any critical manner.
Well, again, I think it's becoming more and more obvious that when God sets the sheep and the goats, he's the one that determines, but the policies that are being put into place, if you're seeing already the hatred, especially in Canada now and its prime minister are incredibly becoming more, and by the way, I'm not bashing Canadians because I have tons of listeners, there's no bashing in the statement, but the problem, you know, people say they don't care what he is as long as he's cute. Well, I mean, man, Doug, that makes my head feel like a pumpkin, you know, under a D10 cat. I go, you don't care what he says unless he's cute? What, if the Antichrist shows up at Knickers and pulls the chain on the guillotine blade, it's good because he was cute in those Knickers? We have the most devoid of reality population base ever. People won't even do the basic homework to look at MKUltra and some of the mind control experiments. And yet now we've got neural implants, we've got John McInsane coming out of his brain issue and voting against Trump. We've got all the fake Republicans that basically, you know, I don't have a word yet for the contempt I have for those guys. How do you even begin, okay? If you're in a boat and you're the captain and you think everybody's rowing with you, but they're down in the hull of the ship drilling holes in the, you know, hull or the keel, you're going to sink. You can give the best orders. You can even point your sails in the wind, but they're trying to sink him. So we must pray as ex-Christians. Let me say this. You know, I'm sorry, but the people that are out, you know, and look, does that mean we morally give Trump a pass? Absolutely not. But I believe in something. I believe the simple statement that Jesus catches his fish before he cleans them. God doesn't gut sinners. He basically brings them to the conviction where they want to change, and then the Spirit of the living God is free to move in their lives to bring about the necessary change. And you know, the thing is I'll tell you this. You know who's going to be, and you, LA, you know this too. And please, we've talked about this. The people who are going to fight the truth the hardest are the ones who are going to embrace the falsehood the fastest. And I'm talking about claimants to Christianity. Go ahead, LA.
Well, you know, again, Steve and Doug and Joe, it's just we talk about this stuff, and I know a lot of people will, you know, they'll call it fear-mongering. They'll say, you know, you guys are always so negative. But it's like, it's all reality. And if we were going to this one particular fellowship locally, and I won't mention any names. I really like the pastor. He's a great guy. Never a word about anything political. Never a word about anything prophetic. Never a word about anything about Israel. Nothing. We were there for a year. And I turned to my wife and I said, I can't sit here anymore. I mean, I like the pastor. He's a really nice guy. But it's completely irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant. And the problem is, there's so many of the churches that literally have this lukewarm idea of Christianity. They want to play everything safe. Everything has to be safe. We want a soft landing place for our people. We don't want to scare the sheep. Nonsense. You want to warn the sheep. And hats off to you, Doug and Joe, for your show, because you're warning the sheep constantly. And the people, like I know, Steve, we both get lots and lots and lots of emails. I get emails every single day, all week long, from people who have either come across the line for the first time and given their lives to Jesus, because they realize he's the truth, the way, and the life. Or they've come back to him because they left the church because they were, and this is true, they were watching Ancient Aliens and they became an Ancient Alien devotee. They took on that paradigm, that worldview, they embraced that, and they walk with it. And then they got a hold of my stuff, or your stuff, Steve, and other people, Tom Horn's stuff, and it changed them. And by the way, Art, those three names are used over and over and over again. Dear LA, I watch your stuff, Tom Horn, Steve Quell, over here, that over and over again. And what it does is it brings people back to not this lukewarm deal with Jesus, but they're on fire. And they look around and they realize, oh my gosh, prophecy's happening right under our noses. Why aren't more churches talking about it? And some churches are waking up, and that's fantastic. But it's just like the reason why Branson is sold out and there's 3,000 people there and live streaming is probably going to go through the roof, let's hope so, is because people are hungry. They're not hearing about it at their church. So when you assemble the kind of folks that Steve's got on the roster, people are going to walk away from that conference armed to the teeth, and they're going to know the truth, and the truth will make them free.
Amen. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, too, the anti-pope, let's call him that, calls Jesus in the Bible a lie. You know, Pope called him Jesus a sinner. You know, and what's incredible is that Jesus said, the thief comes and has nothing in me. If Jesus wasn't sinless, he wouldn't have been God's ideal sacrifice. So the point is that he took upon himself the sin of the world, but he had no internal sin. So, you know, after doing this, and when I say writing, talking, 25 years, you know, and thank you all who have sent me birthday greetings. Thank you so much, and you know, belated birthday greetings and stuff. The point is that I'm on one crusade. Let's call it this, the last crusade. I don't believe it's my time to go, so I want to make that clear. But what I do believe is this. At this point in my life, you know, I'm saying, Lord, bring people to my path, and this is the same thing, LA, I know you're claiming, and we're all claiming this, that have ears to hear. We're not telling you to take anything we say because we say it. Look, we are telling you to look at everything in the light of Scripture. And if some guy wants to come on, by the way, I challenge that person to an on-air debate. I know that debating is foolish, but I want to hear what he says about 1594, 1574 manuscripts from the chroniclers of the conquistadors. I want to know what he says about Og, king of Bashan. He said, well, the guy was a small guy who lived in a big bed. Yet Eusebius, the church father, the one that, you know, some of these guys sealed their faith with their martyrdom, said that, you know, he made King Og basically the identical person that the Romans worshipped as Saturn, and says that he's in stasis in the British Isles. And you can't understand the whole history of giants unless you go to the British Isles. L.A. was talking about the identical, or forgive me, the geospatial coordinates and the archaeoastronomical coordinates of how all this stuff lines up. I want to make it really clear to everybody. Prior to the flood of Noah, there was a massive pyramid culture throughout the world. It was in the days of Peleg that God divided the continents. So there was a supercontinent. Some people call it Gondwanaland. That's a hard one to try and spell. The others call it Pangaea. That's easier. But the point is God does something. He separates, even at that time, before, and I don't know why God chose to separate the continents at that time, but I will tell you this, if at the end of God's patience, before he judged it, the fallen angels knew it was coming, by the way. You can't read the book of Enoch or the book of Giants not to know that. And for a free version, go on my website, Genesis6Giants.com, and click on the nav bar where it says ancient texts. It's there for you to look at. So the point is that they knew. You know, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Let me make something clear. The day of the Lord comes at the end of the tribulation. We're going to go through, and I'm saying this, I speak for myself, but we're going to go through plenty of hell. And it's amazing. Do you think those guys that were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, or all the Syrian Christians who died, were slaughtered, bombed, blown up, disemboweled, You know, and people say, I don't want to listen to your show. You just talk about gory stuff. Well, I got news for you. It obviously isn't registering because you still live in the world of Pollyanna on, there we go. I got a new one for everybody. Da-da-da-da. Pollyanna's on Prozac. They can't deal with reality, but they sure want the bloody Prozac to take those, incremental bits of reality. Oh no, reality's setting in. Give me another Prozac dipped binky, okay? So, you know, I can't sell them, but I'm sure somebody could start selling Prozac dipped binkies. They'd come into breaking the law, but hey, you know, it seems like that's where we're at. So, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be cynical, and I am, but here's the thing. It seems like no matter what LA does, no matter what Timothy Alberino does, and by the way, he's got real enemies that really don't like him. You don't go where he's gone in Rome and think you just, you know, get away free. God has intervened. 2 days before they attempted to kill him and his family, his wife was awakened in the middle of the night, and the Lord said, Jasmine, get down and pray. And the point is that I can tell you this, that God warns his people before it comes. But I've asked the Lord, I don't know if you have, L.A., I said, Lord, what comes next? What revelations do you want? And I guarantee you that we as Christians have surrendered the narrative that there is one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. Well, that's divisive. Absolutely. Solomon was ready to obviously use the child sacrifice to test the true love of the real mother. The real mother was willing to give up the baby rather than see it slaughtered. The non-real mother would rather see the baby slaughtered. Half of a live child in her mind was to make her point right. Solomon was wise enough to see through it. I ask myself this, Doug, and seriously, I'm asking everyone to think about this. If you look at the days of Babylon before they were conquered, the literal finger of God wrote on the wall when the king was having a great feast and all of his debauched madness, you know, your kingdom is divided, and it's going to be taken from you this very night. And so I think what's critical is this. What I believe, and I say this to the Lord, okay? I say, Lord, will you please write it out, spell it out, make it so clear? And you know what? After I pray that, I say, what else could he do? You know, what else could he do? Voices from heaven, the people of God, the ones that saw his mighty works, they said, Moses, go talk to God. We don't want to hear from him directly. You know, Henry Gruber tells a story of people praying that, oh, send down the glory, Lord, send down the glory, religious sounding. And God said, tell them to stop singing that. If I send down my glory now, half of them will die. Think that maybe put the fear of the Lord in a few people that sing songs not even thinking what they sing? So here's the thing. We are on a quest to make known the hidden mysteries of history, the manifold cover-up, and the mouth of 10,000 witnesses, if you want to deny it, if you want to think that, gee, the tallest guy in the world was 7 feet, and ALA, wait until they find out about the little people that are people are seeing all over the world, from the islands of Hawaii, the Menahuni, to all over the Nari Pon in Thailand, and all of every single, the British wee people, Iceland wee people, Russian folklore wee people, New Zealand, Australian wee people, they're not all called wee people, they got names I can't pronounce because they're in, Maori language or Maori language, but the point being is you cannot get away from it. The supernatural now is being thrust into, quote, the world of the denialists, and the denialists will either come to grips with it, come to Jesus, you know, overcome it by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loving not their life unto death, or they're going to succumb to it. And my concern is this. Jesus himself said, if he's told us earthly things and we believe him not, how can he tell us heavenly things? And my answer, Lord, is, Lord, it seems like nobody believes you on anything you say. Now, there are people that do, and a lot of them listen, but I would say the majority of Christendom, and based on, you saw that, Joe, and Doug, the what was it, the Gallup poll, or it was one of the polls, maybe George Barna poll, but, you know, I mean, 50-60% of the Christians don't even believe there's a literal devil, that's just a metaphor for evil. Well, then how did evil originate? One paramecium got a bad attitude towards an amoeba and decided to maybe zap them with some more primordial goo? I mean, come on, you know? It's ridiculous.
That was pretty, that, that was a showstopper there. LA, your comments?
Well, you know, where do we go after that, Steve? I mean, you just wrap the thing up, put a little bow on it, and off we go. I'll just say this, that the sin code is rampant. The sin code is in every single, not only every single individual, but the animal kingdom as well. This whole place is under the sway of the sin code. And when we become born again and spirit filled, that changes everything. That begins to change us. It begins to move us away from the sin code. Are we perfect? Of course not. But we no longer do the things that we used to do. And some of those things, maybe they take 2 days to get healed from. Others, 2 years. Others, 20 years. It depends. And I'm not saying, you know, you gotta be under something for 20 years. But, you know, in some cases, it takes a long time to change a person. Look, Moses went out in the desert and tended sheep for 40 years before he came into his ministry. Paul, 14 years, after he goes up to Jerusalem. 14 years. If you go through the biblical narrative, everyone spends time, everyone spends time on the anvil in God's forge. And what happens on that anvil? He heats you up in that forge and puts you on that anvil and takes the hammer and begins to pound us into a different shape. And that takes time. But that is the process. I no longer am the man that I was 37 years ago when I came across the line and accepted Jesus into my heart. So what we're seeing is this pulling. We live in this tension. And part of that tension is there are people around us who, because they will not embrace the Son, and there's a reason for this, because of their free will, and they don't want to give up what they think is the reins to their life. They don't want to give up their sin nature or have their sin nature change. So there's this tension all around the believer. And that tension is we are pounded on a daily basis with soft porn. It's ever the mall soft pornography.
LA,
the fact that this scar she got. Yeah.
Just yes, you're breaking
you're
up
cutting
really
out a
bad.
Little bit there. Yeah, and your audio is getting scattered.
Yeah, your audio is scattered for me. You guys are. Steve was great, but your audio is out of place.
This is
now?
Amazing. Now's yep. Fine.
Let me take it away for a minute just until maybe the audio can stabilize, because I couldn't hear, anything, so I don't know if it's a Skype interruption or what, you know. But most people don't understand something, and since L.A., you were at Fatima and the visit of Fatima, that was Muhammad's daughter's name, too.
Yes.
And years
yes.
ago, I said that, and I did, Doug, this is a matter of record, those people who listen to me on KHNC, I said the day will come when Islam will merge with Catholicism, not traditional Catholicism, but an offshoot. How is it that every time the Pope kisses the Quran, but he mocks the Bible, puts down Jesus, absolutely, you know, is a man who seems to have more affinity, wanting a one-world government, a one-world religion, of course, he'd be the head of it, or he'd share his reins with it. I think it's going to be easier than most people imagine for the merging of Catholicism and Islam to take place. Now, again, I'm not talking about traditional Catholicism. I'm talking about, I don't know, even if somebody's a Catholic wants to send me an email to tell me what it is that you guys are calling it. Because, look, I have friends. Some of my best friends in the world are Catholics. I want to make it clear, okay? I'm not bashing anybody's faith. I don't agree with some of the tenets of their faith. But I know there are people that are Catholics that really love God. That's between them and God. But I will tell you this, when someone comes on the scene, fulfills all of the qualifications of the false prophet, when that guy, and I'm sorry, that, you know, when that guy in the white suit starts to knock Jesus, my fur goes up, okay? When that guy in the white robe starts saying the Bible is basically not to be taken personally, when he says that the most dangerous people are those claiming a personal relationship with Jesus, you understand what he's saying? Individuality doesn't count anymore. You must be assimilated by the vomitous Borg from hell. Now, obviously, I'm adding the vomitous Borg from hell. The other statements are truly his. You can go on any search engine and type in. So, because Christians have been wishy-washy, because we've been spineless, I'm talking, you know, I mean, everybody's got, and me too, look, I've got a major internet presence, and, you know, I thank God for that, but, you know, the deal is, it's when we're calling people to prayer that God moves on our behalf that stuff gets done. You know, obviously, my rants haven't changed a thing at this point, you know, but what it does change is me recognizing that I can't do this stuff. The anger of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. I know that. But there's also a holy indignation. And Doug, when Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, I can see now what he meant by that. Why, oh God, why? Why, oh God? And somebody says, well, yours is not the question why. No, my why is the cry of my heart. But it's not why God, are you allowing it? It's why God do your people stand for it. I want that. There's a good statement, because everybody blames all bad stuff on God, okay? So, but it's why God, and when he says, because my people stand for it, there's more scripture basically undergirding that statement than most people would believe. God, Jesus said that if a salt loses a savor, it's good for nothing, but he trodden under the foot of man. It basically, in the New Testament time, that's what they did to salt that was no longer salty. They used it as road mix. You know what road mix produces? Roadkill. And I'm just saying this, that there's too many people that, you know, can sing that in the sweet by and by, but they better get it on the here and now, or they better kiss the sweet by and by goodbye with other parts of their anatomy.
Here we go again, another showstopper. Oh, man. Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. L.A., go ahead and pump in. Let's see how your audio is.
Yeah, I hope the audio is working. I don't know why it's cutting out like that, but... you know, I was just talking about the sin code and how being spirit-filled and born again changes a man or a woman and begins to mold us and shape us by being in God's forge, heated up in that fire, pounded on that anvil into a different shape, the shape that he wants us to be. But the tension that we find ourselves in is very, just like Lot. It's the days of Noah. You know, it's just like Lot. Now, Lot's way after Noah. Okay, I get that. But in that same passage, he refers to Lot. Lot was a vexed guy. I mean, he's in a place where he's living with some real crazy stuff going on. Cannibalism, pedophilia, all sorts of crazy stuff. Ritualistic sex magic. And that's exactly what's happening today. So the tension that Christians feel, they ought to feel, is that we are literally strangers in a strange world. We're walking through this thing.
Typical Thursday in America. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's what's happening today. You're right.
Am I cutting out or am I good?
No, you're good. I was just agreeing with you. It's a typical Thursday in America, which you just described. It's happening today. You know, from Marina Abramovic
Exactly. You know, And the tension that the believer finds him or herself in is the fact that we're inundated, we're surrounded by filth, by depravity. We're surrounded by stuff that 50 years ago, if mentioning it, people would have been aghast. Now, I'll just pick on one little deal. You know, transgenderism is like the latest thing. It's like, you know, we all should be proud of, like, Chelsea Manning and Bruce Jenner. I mean, this is what's held up. The last 6 months of Obama's administration, what does he focus on? Transgender bathrooms. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you flipping kidding me? This is what he focuses on? I mean, it's beyond the pale. It's absolutely beyond the pale. Then, of course, we've got a Congress, which is absolutely nothing. and it's been like, what, 8 months? Nothing. Zippo. And now they're going to have yet another break. Meanwhile, and I'll just bag on the taxes thing for just a second. Americans pay some of the highest taxes in the world. So everything, I look around, I look at the pornography, I look at the pedophilia rings, which apparently are rampant, which apparently, you know, you look at Jimmy Savile over in England. I mean, that's a really weird deal. And I want to chime in on something here. When we were in Fatima, when we were in Portugal, true story, okay, I was hit with spiritual warfare that was incredibly visceral. And what I mean by that is gut-wrenching. I mean physical. It was visceral. It was physical. And we landed in Lisbon, and it was great. We did a couple of interviews in Lisbon. We drove around. It was a fantastic time. Had some great interviews there. Then we drove into Fatima. And I was okay. When I got to the sanctuary, again, that sanctuary can hold 1 million people at a time, to give you an idea of the enormity of the place, what it's become. And it's I don't want to use the word spooky, but it's spooky. Anyway, so I'm there, and that night is when it started. The spiritual warfare started. And it went on for about 2 to 3 days. What was interesting, when I would do an interview with someone, I was fine. The moment the interview stopped, bam, I would be hit again. And I'm sitting there, you know, with all the spiritual warfare stuff I know, and I'm not getting relief. And after like 3 days of this, it's 2 in the morning. And what I mean by this is I'm getting hit with every type of perverted thought you can possibly think of. And it's not, I'm not generating it, okay? It's not coming from me. These are the fiery darts that we're told about in Ephesians. And I've got my shield up, and I got my sword out, and I'm taking every thought accountable, okay? I get all that. Problem is, I'm under attack. And I go, Lord, I can't do this any longer. I gotta get out of here. And I feel the Holy Spirit tell me, trust the process. So I did. The next day, it lifted. And I'm there with a historian who's also a philosopher. And by this time, I'm starting to put two and two together. And I asked the guy, my first question to him, what was here in the pre-Christian era? You know what he told me? It was a matriarchal society where they embraced the sacred feminine, where they worshiped feminine gods. And the priests, the male priests who served at these temples, were castrated. That's the first thing. The second thing, there were ritual prostitution going on at these temples. There are hundreds of apparition sites from these entities all over Portugal. In other words, the area is completely steeped in the occult. The area is steeped in a principality which has reigned over that territory for millennia. It's never been deposed. It just changes shape. Metaschismatosai is the Greek word that Russ Dizdar taught me. Metaschismatosai. It changes shape because there are no female angels. And when you look at the temple, there's a temple of Diana, which comes in later in the Roman era, much, much later after the initial worship that's going on of these ancient gods, well, well in advance before the Christian era. The Romans come in and they're building these temples to Diana. The same Diana that we read about, Diana of Ephesus, right? In Paul's epistles. Same thing. And when you look at this, what you'll see, Diana has breasts in many of the pictures, but underneath those breasts, you'll see that there are, you know, sometimes, two more sets or three more sets or four more sets. But Gary Stearman told me that in some of the earlier statues, when you actually look at them, that below the breasts, there were three sets of testicles. So what we've got here is a chimeric, transgendered, hermaphroditic entity. And there's the new expression I've coined. It's an interdimensional transgender. Why? Because the fallen ones are totally obsessed with having sex. But not just normal sex. They want it with the animals. Book of Enoch talks about this. They sin against the animal kingdom. This is what's going on. It happened in antiquity. What do you think's going on today? It's the same nonsense. People are abducted, and it's not just, you know, normal sex. Oh no. I mean, it's all sorts of nonsense that happens on these ships. Graham Hancock wrote a book called Supernatural. He's down in Brazil, South America, Peru. He's taking ayahuasca. Wouldn't recommend it to anyone. Why? It's pharmakia. It's a springboard into the lower astral. And he gets up there. He does like, it's like 40 times he does it. And he gets up there and he looks around and he goes, to his amazement, to his astonishment, there are these grays, the gray aliens that then now are enculturated. You go back 25 years ago, if I say gray, no one knows what I'm talking about. Today, everybody does. Everyone's been enculturated, okay? That's conditioning. So he's doing this, and at the end of the book, it's like, I don't know, 400 or 500 pages. At the end of the book, this is what he comes up with. Whatever or whoever these entities are, talking about the grays, they are obsessed with mating with us and creating a hybrid of sorts. That screams the Genesis 6 narrative. It screams Genesis 6. It's right there. It goes back to Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the serpent will be at war, at enmity with the seed of the woman. That sets up the rest of the biblical prophetic narrative. So, I mean, Graham Hancock is down there. He's not a Christian, but he knows. He sees what's going on, and nothing has changed. It's just gotten worse. And we are seeing every type of perversion that you can possibly imagine come to the forefront. Where you go back 50 years ago, I was bagging on the transgender thing. No one knew what transgenderism was. There wasn't even a word for that yet. Now it's part of a lexicon and it's mainstream. Need I say more?
Well, I think I want to just pick up a little bit on this, because Lilith, the Night Hag, that's what she's been known as. Obviously, yeah. She appears in the Epic of Gilgamesh. And by the way, Gilgamesh was a real half man, half god. We'd call him, a Rephaim, the ancient demon of the Sumerians. And actually, she was a demoness. But if you're noticing, L.A., and that's kind of what you're telling everyone, it's apparent. These things are almost, how do I say this? They're androgynous in the sense that they possess both sexual plumbing, okay? Let's just use that. That way I don't get in trouble. And yet the thing is that the legends, okay, it's kind of like that was the devil's attempt at producing Eve. Now, let me share something. As we're talking, not only is cannibalism coming on the scene, but also bestiality has broken loose in Western Europe, especially Switzerland, Germany, that I weep, and I do weep for those poor animals. And look, I'm not an animal lover. I love animals, but I love human babies, and I love human babies more, and yet if people don't care about them, yet some people care about their animals. I'm saying this. I'm saying that the poor animals are crying out to God, for it says all creation is in travail. I'm also the one that said animals' natures are going to change. That's based on the book of Revelation. We've got things now going on in the animal kingdom that have never gone on before. Never before have orcas attacked boats with the ferocity they're doing now. They're attacking people. The Pacific Ocean is a dead ocean. People, I remember I said that, and some of the stupid, what do they call, bulletin boards or whatever they are, so it's not a third of the ocean. The Pacific Ocean isn't a third. Well, listen, you take up in the Arctic Sea, and it definitely is. I mean, I even went dug and calculated it, okay? And so the point is that, no matter what you say that's true, somebody's going to do it. But I want everybody to realize something, too, that one of the pictures that I can't, the Burney relief of Babylon has her with six toes. Have you seen that? And six fingers?
No.
Here, I'll send it to you right now, Doug, if you want to put it up on your screen. I don't know if you can get it up that quick. But everybody, you can go to Ancient Origins, ancient-origins.net, and take a look at this. And I'm sorry, it's too long for me to read out the whole URL, but I'll send it to you right now, Doug, and you can just see it, and then you can post it. But look at what you see here. And what you're seeing, now remember, this is the country, the United States, that welcomed, okay? We welcomed the Egyptian god Anubis, you know? And I don't say God with a capital G. I say we welcome the demon. We welcome the evil spirit, Anubis. We've welcomed the Baal, or, you know, the Arch of Baal. We've welcomed all sorts of perversion stuff. But this whole thing, transgenderism, is nothing more than the ancient demons, demonesses that have been chained and locked up. I'm not talking about the ones that Peter talks about that are reserved forever, reserved in everlasting chains of darkness. But what is so disturbing, and I think this is the most important point, L.A., that you could make tonight. Not that everything else isn't, but, I mean, if you look to the Lilith, guess who's on her right and left side? The same owl portrayal as the Bohemian Grove, okay? Yeah. Now, Doug, let me know if you get this, because is there any way to put it up on the screen really quick, or I don't know how you guys work your stuff.
Not at the moment. However, we will put this up retroactively, or, you know, after this
At it, okay? And if some of you are offended, you know, by 6,000-year-old bas-relief, I had a Baptist minister come down on me because I put an Atlas statue on one of my, you couldn't see anything. As a matter of fact, I had my guy, my webmaster, you know, block out his stuff. But the point is that if somebody wants to see something, what we're trying to talk about is we're trying to show people the sinisterly wicked, if you will, resurgence or reemergence of all of these things that were destroyed by God, and now they're coming back, okay? They're coming back. It's the same thing like, if you will, the Amazons and Edgar Rice Burroughs. There really was an island called Lesbos. Guess what word came from that? So here's the thing. I see the scripture in Isaiah. For seven women will take hold of a man in that day. Obviously, there's guys on TV that already live in that. To say, take away our reproach. Have you ever thought, L.A., Joe and Doug, what that reproach is? Because there are seven women. They want husbands. What is going to destroy the family? Obviously, everything we're talking about. And I don't mean to be crude here, but the whole basis of robots, of sex bots, you know, of you know, all of the variations of that is basically to keep the human race from becoming, you know, from being able to reproduce. Now, obviously, those with high birth rates aren't going to tune into sex bots, but, you know, it's a lie that the West has bought. For instance, the bordellos, and I'm sorry to have to go here, but I need to. The bordellos in Europe now are having even the prostitutes complaining that men are preferring the robots over them. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man and say, take away our approach. Now, it's not talking about prostitutes, you know, not doing their resident requirement of tricks to get their necessary money. But what it is talking about is we are at the time, and I said this, and lo and behold, it was on TV the other night. I said this years ago. I said, listen, watch how it goes. Women will start dressing more and more seductively, and pretty soon, you know, they'll be to the point where clothes will be optional, but they'll try and get around the law by body painting, you know? And so now they're doing it in Times Square. Well, what is this? You know, they are casting aside all of their inhibitions. But the point is that the angels, and here's the, I guess, my bottom line for tonight. Sex is what, and I want to define sex. I know what it means in Latin. I know what it means in Old French. But what I'm saying, it's Satan's execution of the human race. S-E-X. I don't know if you heard me say that, L.A., but I was praying, and that's what God dropped into my spirit. So look at this. It's powerful enough to lure angels out of heaven, the watchers. Okay, it's powerful enough to lure aliens. I guess aliens are, it's really lonely out there on Alpha Centauri. I can't take it. Let's go to Earth. You know, I'm sorry, but that's what they would have you believe. And isn't it interesting? Well, the aliens want to come and have, you know, sex on Earth to obviously interrupt the plan of God, and the marriage covenant is the oldest covenant in the world, you know. And I got news for you. You're not going to say, do you take this robot to be your lawful wedded sex bot? You know, you're not gonna, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the complete annihilation of the human race, where the Lord God of heaven sent his son, and Jesus said, except the days be short and there be no flesh left alive. And I can't even go into the headlines of the day. Go on Drudge and read the left-hand column of what's going on in the city now for, you know, women, because evidently there are not enough men to relieve themselves. And I'll just say that. This is, ladies and gentlemen, on the front of Drudge. Drudge is basically, obviously, reporting all the stories, but have you noticed they're getting kinkier, they're getting weirder, and they're becoming more repulsive? Well, why would you even wreck my beautiful mind with this? Because I'm praying, God, what can I do, what can I say to wake people up who, if they don't wake up, they're going to perish in their apathy, indifference, and denial? You know, A-I-D. Apathy, indifference, and denial. And so this is where we're at. And I sent you that picture, Doug. I'll put this up on my website, and I better put a, you know, warning sign. I feel like the Lost in Space robot sometimes, because, you know, you can't even show woodcuts or you get accused. Nope, I won't put the article up, but I'll tell people, here's the article. Because, again, this isn't to be sensuous. It's to give you the sense to know that the 91st Psalm was talking about this, the terror that comes by night. And I can't even go into the way Lilith, I won't go into the way she killed the men, but she used her sexuality to do it. That's all I can say. That's the terror that comes by night. She was called the Desert Hag. She was called the Night Hag. And isn't it interesting that even the Game of Thrones has a witch that lives by drinking men's blood and turns in? I don't watch that. I watched a couple episodes, and I figured out, you know what? There is something so wrong with some of this stuff. I understand it's a great series, you know. They got some great battle scenes. But when you have witches that take on, in essence, the historic, and I believe Lilith was the one that whoever wrote it with George Martin or whatever, that's what he's probably patterning it after. Because if you don't know this, there is an amazing amount of psychosexuality that leads right back to the fallen angels. So that's why God ordained holy matrimony, because all there is now is, hey, listen, guys want to marry sheep. They do horrible things to sheep. You've got women wanting to do this with, I mean, we are totally in the days of Noah, and the days of Noah, as extreme as they were, will not even compare to the things that we are going to deal with in the very near future, and are already seeing it outplaying before our eyes.
Get that right. LA, we've got about 10 minutes left of this show. Guys, just a reminder. So, LA, any comment after that?
Well, I concur. I mean, these are the days of Noah that we're living in. They're like the days of Noah that we're living in. And it's just, you know, I wish I could stay here. I mean, I wrote a book a couple of years ago called Days of Chaos. And, you know, when that book came out, oh, Marzulli, you know, you're such a naysayer. Oh, it's always, you know, where am I going wrong? I mean, I remember on some show, and I challenged the host. I said, okay, just pick any topic that you want that I cover in the book. Tell me where I'm going wrong. You know, are we seeing more earthquakes? Absolutely. Are earthquakes growing greater in intensity? Absolutely. What about the volcanic activity? What about the Ring of Fire? Is that abating? Is it getting better? No, it's not. Look at the 6 o'clock news. I mean, look at Venezuela, for crying out loud. You know, the whole country is imploding, all because of socialism. Look at the drug cartels in Mexico, where they had their worst month in June record. More people are killed in Mexico because of the drug cartels than in Iraq, Afghanistan, and every place else, and in Syria, all combined. That's what's going on over there. That's what's going on our southern border. And the reason for this is they throw the poison in. How many people that are listening now have not had someone in rehab? Have not had someone in rehab. These are the days of chaos. We are in the days of chaos. When you have a nutcase in North Korea that's playing around with intercontinental ballistic missiles and threatening to nuke somebody, that's chaotic. I mean, I can't, what's more chaotic than that, for crying out loud? When you've got $21 trillion in debt in our country, and somehow that's okay, and no one deals with it, and now they're going to raise the debt ceiling again, those wasco Republicans. I mean, it's beyond the pale. Days of chaos. The racial tension in the country, absolutely chaotic. Absolutely chaotic. California was in an eight-year drought. We broke it. It was interesting. 8 years of Obama, California major drought. Trump gets elected, go figure. We have record rains, record snowfalls, records, you know. You tell me, is that a coincidence? Some people say, oh, well, you're spiritualizing everything. Really? But I just find the timing of that absolutely incredible. So, look, it is endless war wherever you turn. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, they will beat their weapons into plowshares, and men will not learn war anymore. You think about it. You look at what's, you know, look at ISIS, Daesh, over in Syria and the Middle East. Look at Al-Qaeda. Look at the radical Islamic terrorists. And even if it's like 1%, it's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these guys running around with the ideology, which is their core value, their worldview, that in order to bring Islam in, we got to kill everybody. Kill as many of the infidels as possible. You know, throwing acid in people's faces that you don't even know, you know, just to maim them. I mean, this is the world we're living in. It's crazy. On one hand, it's amazing. Think of the internet. Think of what we're able to do because of the internet. How we can Skype right now from three different parts of the country and communicate. I mean, think about that. That's astounding. You go back 20 years ago, it's impossible. So on one hand, we've got all this technology, which is really cool. On the other, the sin nature of a sin code is on steroids, on overtime, and things are just getting worse. Days of chaos, anyone? You bet.
Not only that, but
well, Doug, one of the things I think that I'd like to make clear again, just in the closing minutes, is that I don't think, and I this is just me, okay, I don't think there will be another True Legends conference the nature or the likes of this one, simply because, and that's not bait, you know, come out with one. I have put off, and I want to make this clear. I know LA does a lot of them, and I know a lot of people do a lot of them. God bless them. That's not the issue. But this is the second one I've done in my life, and I agreed to do one, and the Lord said, you can't do that. And I said, why? He said, because I want you to obey me, and I don't want you walking in anyone else's anointing or shadow. Now, that may sound self-serving until you understand something. My calling is to make known Jesus. My calling is not to argue with the people that I argue with on emails, and I've got to just get away from that. And by the way, I'm just about 30 days away, and I'll announce it, you know, for my clients and those who want to contact me on what I do. This is how I make pay my bills, selling precious metals or the books. I'll always be available for my clients, but I will be having a private email. God knows, and Lord, forgive me for being so stupid. I should have done it a lot sooner. But the point is that we're involved in so much right now, but I'm encouraging those of you to come to Branson and to hear what I believe will be the most life-changing, most not when I say this, most educating thing, but also Pastor Langford's been praying and fasting. I know Henry walks in an open heaven, that there will be a law of impartation there. Let me tell you what that simply means. Before God took Moses, he told him to bring Joshua and Caleb before him and to lay his hands on Moses to lay his hands on them and to take the spirit which God had placed upon Moses and place it upon Joshua and Caleb in the Bible. Wonderful, wonderful story. But more than that now, when Jesus came and Jesus ascended and he said, I've got to go, but I'm going to send you the Comforter, and that when he comes, he's going to not speak of himself, he's going to speak of me. And this is why, you know, people need to be considering this conference, because outside of your show, and I said this once, and some guys said, well, this guy prays for people on the air, too. I wasn't saying we're the only ones. I'm just saying that we have taken it upon ourselves to pray, just as you guys pray for us, that, you know, that you will, be blessed. So the True Legends live streaming is the only thing that's available right now. We can't invent any type of extra seating. You can go to Gen6Conferences.com, and then I will tell you, if you want to know, if you want to hit the floor running, you need, and somebody says, you're just pitching your own wares. Yes, I am, because you've got to get a background on what we're talking about. The Holocaust of Giants. I mean, we're going to share stuff related to the Holocaust of Giants that I think people, their minds are going to be blown. Will everybody believe it? No. But my answer, L.A., since I first started on talk radio, take it to the Lord in prayer. So you can go on True Legends of the Series.com. You can order it. You can download it. You can stream it on Vimeo. You can buy the Blu-ray. You can do whatever you want. But I would encourage you, those of you who are going to go to Branson, if you do not have that DVD, please get it. So we will be referring to it, and you'll see how God is laying this whole thing out in such a, here's a good word, sequential. I'm learning to be sequential. The point point is that we're going to present some information that is going to be mind-boggling. Anselm P. Rambla, and L.A. was there. He knows it. He basically, obviously, had an encounter with God in some way. We're all praying for him. Please pray for him. One of the most amazing men. Wouldn't you say that's true, L.A., that you've ever met?
Yeah, he's a really great guy. Really great guy.
And I'm talking brilliant. I'm talking about genuine, and the things he suffered because of the truth he turned up is unimaginable. So I'm telling you guys, those of you that can't come to Branson, please, please live stream it. Because he said, and I think I've said this on your show, Doug, he's going to share things he's never shared in 40 years. And I know what he's talking about because L.A. and I saw his presentation, as most of the people that went to the conference did, and I mean, it's pretty mind-boggling stuff. So, you know, the people can come. They're already, people say, you going to have another one? Well, probably there can be a True Legends conference, and it doesn't have to have me. See, it's not, I want to make this clear. It's about a shoehorn. If I had to name a ministry, I'd call it shoehorn, because it's helping people walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ in that which he's ordained for you. Thank God there aren't two L.A. Marzullis. Thank God there aren't two Steve Quayles. But you can be who God wants you to be. So we're trying to help you get into your feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel. But there's way more to the good news. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the books. They are written of me to do thy will. You know, what books do you think those were? There's so much, and John said all the books that are in the world couldn't contain all the things that Jesus did. Well, in the Gospels, we got different perspectives on the different miracles, but we don't have all the miracles. So, ladies and gentlemen, please come, and again, we want to make this clear. This is going to be a conference of impartation. This isn't just to sit around and, you know, sing Kumbaya. I guarantee you that song will never be played where I'm at, and that Pastor Langford and his wife and others will be providing the music. And I think if you've never heard Kim Langford sing and the anointing that follows, I'm telling you guys, you're going to see something that most people have never seen in their entire life. And that's a supernatural move of God. So, Doug, God bless you. God bless Joe. L.A., thank you. And please, you know, understand, we're alive and we can only function by the prayers and intercession of God's people. So I, for one, again, thank all of you from the time you ever first heard of me, who have ever prayed for me, and I pray that my prayers coming back at you will be multiplied a thousandfold for your benefit.
Well, thank you, Steve. And we've got about a minute left before the end of the program. L.A., will give you the last minute, sir.
Well, I really appreciate it. Steve, that was just really well said, and I'm looking forward to seeing people in Branson and some of the other conferences that we'll be at this year. But, you know, Branson's got 3,000 people. It's sold out. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, it's an honor to be there. It's an honor to be on this show, to talk about the Lord, to talk about end times. It's just, if you had told me 37 years ago when I gave my life to Jesus that I would be doing this, it's just mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. But that's the King that we serve. I think he's going to return soon. That's my blessed hope. I long to see the rider on the white horse.
Amen. Gentlemen, thank you so very much for your appearance tonight. All right, Steve in L.A.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, bud. All right, man. That'll do it. Wow. What a fantastic show. Incredible broadcast this evening. L.A. Marzulli, Steve Quayle, before that, Paul Preston, Dave Hodges. Just a tremendous show. It really was. Joe?
That'll do it for us tonight. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening.